Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 450 of the milk bar. This is a roundish number. I think I should have cake. Where's Jan, the producer, when you need cake? Okay, well, anyway, I haven't got cake, but what I have got is loads on the show for you, including music inspired by and produced by the Commodore 64, remixed into some modern classics. We'll be finding out all about that from C64 Audio. Also, we've got Jason Guy letting us know about his running of the London Marathon this year. He's raising funds. We'll be hearing from Jan Denning about Destination Wolverhampton and the Black Country. Also, we'll be having an chat with Louise Coulthard about the importance of being earnest, which is on at the Gallery in the very near future. We will be hearing all about the forthcoming events at the Stafford Gatehouse. But first of all, let's make our way over to something that's appearing on stage at the Grand, because I caught up with some of the cast of Sweeney Todd. Warsaw Operatic bring it to the stage, and I went along to one of their rehearsals. From the 13th to the 17th of March, Sweeney Todd is at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre. Warsaw Operatic Society make their debut appearance on stage at the Grand. I'm joined now by Richard and Steph, two of the cast. Hello!
Hello! Hello!
So, tell us a bit about your characters, because you're looking quite menacing and you haven't been shaved at the moment, and that could actually tie in with your character.
Yeah, I think there's something quite nice about a barber who's got a beard. So basically I play Sweeney Todd. He has been kind of sent away to Botany Bay for a crime that he didn't commit, and he's come back to London to seek his revenge.
Yeah, to make up for it, as it were.
Yeah, as such.
And your shortcrust pastry must be amazing.
Oh, the best, the best. Greasy and gritty and full of lard, apparently.
Yeah. So, a great musical, Stephen Sondheim, yes. And it's one that it's got comedy, it's got horror, it's basically got it all, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's got really dark humour, if that's your kind of bag, and it's certainly mine. It's one of my favourite shows and has been since I've been a teenager, way back when. And the score's just absolutely incredible, and it's really gorgeous score to sing as well.
Yeah,
the orchestrations are just fantastic.
It is fabulous. And it's great because you get a good chance to play a really nasty character, really. I mean, Mrs. Lovett comes across as quite sort of friendly to start with, but you realise she's the one behind all the evil deeds.
The worst of it is you.
Yeah, in a way, yeah.
So I dread to think what you're both going through to prepare yourself mentally for these roles. No one's gone missing recently, have they?
Not as far as I know.
No, but I have eaten a lot of pies.
Yeah, my pastry making skills are definitely on the up.
You have to test these things, don't you? Just to be on the safe side. As long as it's only lamb, that's okay. But I mean, it's great for Warsaw Operatic to be making the move over to the Grand, and great to see you on stage in the city, and just down the road from your Warsaw home as well. So this is all good, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. We're really thrilled to be performing at the Grand. We never thought we would do it, it just happened, and it's just been fabulous that we're able to have that opportunity.
Yeah. And a big theatre and bringing in some big audiences too.
Absolutely, and it's such a fantastic show, and I think it's the first time that Sweeney Todd's been performed there as well, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
So hopefully that's going to attract quite a few people as well. Previously we've made this production in 2014,
yeah.
I think, and it won the Regional Noda Award for that particular production, so we're really excited to bring it back.
So all looking good for a fantastic show. Break a leg. I think you have to do that to get them in the pies, don't you?
That's right, yeah. Yes.
And make sure you have a great time on stage. 01902 429212 is the box office number. Grandtheatre.co.uk to get your tickets. Check out the guys from Warsaw Operatic Society as they bring Sweeney Todd to the stage in March. Have a fantastic time. We'll see you there.
Thank you very much.
Attend the tale of Sweeney Todd. His skin was pale and his eye was odd. He shaved the faces of gentlemen who never thereafter were heard of again. He trod the path that few have trod, did Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street. He kept a shop in London town, of fancy clients and good renown. And what if none of their souls were saved? They went to their maker in liquor and shaved. My Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street.
Swing your razor wide, Sweeney.
tail and a mop.
For neatness he deserves a nod to Sweeney Todd.
The demon bomber of Fleet Street.
Inconspicuous Sweeney was quick and quiet and clean. He was the back of his smile, hand of his word. Sweeney had music that nobody heard. Sweeney pondered and Sweeney planned like a puppet machine. He planned.
Sweeney was cruel, Sweeney was subtle, Sweeney would blink and rats would scuttle. Inconspicuous Sweeney was quick and quiet and clean. He was Sweeney, was Sweeney, was Sweeney.
On Thursday the 8th and Friday the 9th of February, you can see the magic of Forbidden Nights on stage in Cannock. It is all taking place at the Prince of Wales. To tell us more, Billy Blue Eyes, hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. And how are you in this world?
I am very good, very excited to be coming up to be performing again at Cannock. We're going to be there for two nights because it sells so well. So, no, very excited.
And I think the audience probably are too. For those who aren't aware of the work of Forbidden Nights, explain a little of what you do, because the strapline is Circus Just Got Sexy.
Well, it did. It did indeed, yeah. So essentially, we showcase male variety in a sexy way. So we have a fire performer. I personally do aerial chains. We have a pole act. We have an acrobat. We also have a singer to serenade all those lovely ladies down there. So we have a lot of talent on that stage. They all start with a lot of clothes, and then by the end of it, you've got a lot of talent, but not a lot of clothes.
So, shocking stuff, but good fun for everybody who likes that kind of thing. And it's not rude. It's just naughty, isn't it?
Not that, absolutely. It's all based around fantasy. It's a bit tongue in cheek. You come down, you know, leave your inhibitions at the door and have some fun. But, yeah, certainly it's a classy show. Your mind can take you wherever you want it to take, and that's where we kind of leave it.
Now, I mean, you love your dancing, inspired by Michael Jackson, so can we expect you doing a moonwalk with your top off?
Oh, absolutely. Probably, I'll squeeze it into finales just for you, and we'll make sure we have that there. We used to do a Michael Jackson routine. It's come out now. But, yeah, that's where it all came from. Absolute king of pop, and you can't beat an MJ track.
So what's the banter like? Because how many of you are there together? Is it seven of you in the group?
There's seven performers. There's 12 of us that tour, including we have to include them because they're amazing. Our lighting technician, our stage manager, and our choreographer, because you know it's as important backstage as it is on stage, and it's the whole family and team that put on the show that we're very proud of today. So you don't just have to be taking your top off to be part of the team. There's some very talented men backstage that make it just as special.
And you do allow them to wear T-shirts at all times?
Sometimes. One takes his top off occasionally.
You're a bit of a nightmare, you lot, by the sound of things. I've been sent your biog, and this is an intriguing one. Your random fact is if you don't tense, your abs disappear. So you're one of these annoying people who has visible abs, for starters. But I think that's true of all the lads, isn't it?
But the thing is, if I do forget, and that's quite embarrassing when you get the photo, but it's a bit of a magic trick, so I have to constantly be tensing them to make them look good. And if I forget, then, it's a bit of an illusion, really. So no forgetting.
Okay, so you focus on the abs, that's
yeah,
what counts.
Yeah.
And spray tan all the way?
All the way, yeah. We chuck on, we've got a rub-on tan, put a couple of coats on there, because some beds are rather unhealthy, and otherwise you get washed out by the lights, and we've got to look as good as we can.
Absolutely. So there's self-tanning and baby oil. That's the way it works. Yeah. Now, you've been with these guys, so is it about 8 years now? Because you're only about, in your late 20s now, aren't you?
Well, actually, that's a lie. I might as well say it. I should probably update that by. I'm actually 30 now.
No.
Bit of a veteran. Forbidden Nights has been touring. It's our third year. We're going into our fourth year on tour now. We've been going for about 5 years now. So still quite early doors in the entertainment world. But it's been going year on year, strength on strength. And we're just so blessed that this new kind of genre of, I suppose a classy form of female entertainment has really picked off, and we're very grateful for that. Very grateful.
But even if the fellas go along with the ladies, they're still going to be entertained because this is a full circus show. It just happens to be that you have bodies to blimmin' die for.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I will say probably 90% of audience is women, but at the end of the day, it is a great show. Actually, a lot of boyfriends buy their girlfriends tickets, and we love that. Especially in this day and age of equality, they go, right, do you know what, you want to go and see a bit of fun and see some flesh? I'll buy you a ticket, we'll both have a giggle. And do you know what, in this day and age, seeing a relationship like that, it's lovely. It's lovely to see, and well done to them, I say.
Absolutely. And but it just means it is a bit of good fun. And have you had any weird moments on stage where things have gone wrong? I suppose doing aerial in chains,
yeah.
it could be potentially dangerous up there.
Performances, whether it be, I mean, we've had... not so recently, I'm sad to say, someone once put the wrong track on, and it was an extended version, and no one had, so the start of the track seemed similar, and we thought, it's okay, because it'll go into what we need it to go into. Well, it was a completely different edit, and the boys had to almost make half of it up, and I take my hats off to them. They did a great job. I felt the pain, but at the time, you've got a live show, you know, 400 or 500 women there watching. You can't close the curtains. Well, you know, you could make light of it, but to have the wrong track and for them just to have to go with it, I mean, I certainly bought the boys a beer that night as a thank you. But anything silly, you know, we can, you know, you can either, even just the basics of just tripping up or slipping over can be rather embarrassing. But again, it's there for fun, and if it happens, you laugh with the audience, and it's a moment for everyone.
And that's joy of the live show, isn't it, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, can't get it wrong, can you?
No, and you're MD for the group as well.
I am indeed, yeah, very blessed to be, yeah. Been with it from the start. It was my creation, my idea, and it's still going strong. So you know, I'm very grateful.
Well, you keep up the good work. Keep those ladies entertained. As I say, it is this Thursday and Friday, the 8th and 9th of February. 7:30 is when it all starts.
It does indeed. Yeah, I think Friday we're very limited on tickets. There's a few left. But I think on the Thursday, although it is selling fast, there's still a bit of availability there as well.
So go for that. 01543 578 762. That's 01543 578 762, the box office number. Tickets cost £21. A fabulous evening of sexy circus. The things I didn't think I'd ever say. Two words. No, they don't normally go together. But in this case, it's absolutely a good bit of fun. And it's going to be great having you in the area. The ladies will absolutely love you. Tickets.princeofwales.live if you want to find out more and book your tickets online. But for now, Billy Blue Eyes, thank you for joining us.
Jason, absolute pleasure. You have a wonderful afternoon. Thank you so much.
In a moment's time, we'll have a word with Chris Abbott from C64 Audio all about the magical sounds made by the Commodore 64 and how they've been turned into true classic tunes. To put us in the right frame of mind for that, this is Monty on the Run. Beauty on the Run, the original Sid. That by Rob Hubbard. To tell us more about the magical world of audio from the Commodore 64, I'm joined now by Chris Abbott. Hello.
Hello.
So this is a thing, isn't it? Because I had a Commodore 64 as a kid, and it was amazing because it was, I think, was it the first polyphonic home computer?
Not the first polyphonic one, but it had the most impressive sound chip. It had different waveforms. It had weird esoteric things like ring mod and sync, which enabled it to sound like nothing else had done before and to an extent since.
Yeah, because it is of its time, but equally futuristic at the same time. So tell us a bit about your background to all this and where this sound comes from.
Well, I'm the person who kind of organises the composers and protects the original tunes. Mm-hmm. And gets them performed and remixed and gives the audience who enjoyed the original tunes the same tunes back, but with very big or dancey, or bringing them the same thing but different, which is what humans always like.
Yeah, we do like a lot of that, yeah.
And sometimes it's taking the original piece and realising how the composer meant it to sound. For instance, if they originally wrote it as an orchestral tune squeezed into these three notes at once, our job is to take it back and score it for symphony orchestra.
So you're taking songs which will have been part of the background on Commodore 64 computer games and turning them into a big sound, but equally you're taking maybe some big sounds and turning them into Commodore 64 sounds, which then get overlaid as part of a remix.
That happens sometimes, but not often. It's mostly starting with the original game and demo tunes on the Commodore, and then realising them in different ways.
Because the Commodore itself had all sorts of great musical stuff. It had a MIDI interface on the back and a plastic clip-on keyboard that allowed you to play it like it was a keyboard.
Well, you could certainly buy MIDI interfaces for it, and some people did use them for that. Although they tended to use Atari STs when that came along.
But that was about another 5-10 years down the line from when the Commodore 64 was really doing the business.
3 years, I think.
Okay, then.
So not that long. But, you had the little plastic keyboard and you had FM cartridges and lots of other things. But most of the time, the composers programmed the onboard sound chip, and they did it using mostly their handwritten routines to drive the chip, which meant every composer had a unique sound.
So how many people are there out there now producing music still, either with a Commodore 64 or taking that original sound and then building it into what you have now?
Hundreds, definitely. Thousands, maybe. In terms of fans, it's thousands, thousands, definitely. Tens of thousands, maybe.
And is this like a global phenomenon in some ways?
Yeah, it stretches across the world. It's not quite as big in the Americas because they had a different relationship with the Commodore 64. They used it for business, and the companies selling were more corporate. Mm-hmm. In the UK and Europe, you had more bohemian freelance composers who drifted between software companies just doing art.
And that art is now what is being turned into these remixes.
That's right, yes. It inspired people at the time, and then they kind of ingested it, and they turned it into an experience in their own brains that was individual to them. Uh-huh. And so some people heard a particular tune like Last Ninja 2 and thought to themselves, yeah, that's a heavy metal piece. And some of them would have listened to the same tune as, like, oh, yeah, that's a synth piece. And they, because it's such a simple sound, not simple as in, it's not that simple, but it's kind of like proto music. It's unfinished. And because the brain feels like it needs to finish things, the brain took in that music, and for some people, it finished it for them. It added the bits in their brain so that everyone experienced the tune slightly differently. That's not what happens when you listen to, say, Take On Me or Bohemian Rhapsody, because it doesn't need adding to. It's finished, it's complete. To creative people, chip tunes, they've got spaces, they're malleable. They're suggestions of instruments.
So you got this sound which it needs building upon. It's basically it is very much like an 8-bit sprite compared to some of the graphics you see on computers these days. You can tell what it is, but you know it's going to have so much more once your head's finished with it.
Yeah, that's right. The imagination does a lot more work on the 8-bit stuff because you look at this collection of dots and your brain transforms it into an image. It doesn't accept it at face value. It recognises it and then transforms it into a concept.
And with the work that's been done, it's an amazing number of tracks that are out there. And is this something you say you're coordinating, but are you maybe doing some writing yourself or some remixing, or do you really sit on the outside and become a connoisseur of this?
No, I'm a fan who got involved in remixing and stuff. So at the moment, I've done various Kickstarters, and one of them was doing Commodore 64 tunes as Jean-Michel Jarre, Vangelis kind of covers. Another one is scoring them for symphony orchestra. Another one was there was a heavy metal band, progressive metal, who wanted to do tunes. There's all sorts, really, progressive track, progressive remixes and synth remixes, and just an amazing outburst of creativity.
It is phenomenal, just what is out there. So if people want to find out more, where do they go to?
c64audio.com or remix.qued.org. They should need to Google for High Voltage SID Collection, which is where you can download a player and the original tunes in a very small binary format.
A bit like an MP3 player, but different.
It runs the code from the original game outside the original game, so you can skip through the tunes and listen to the tunes. There are a fair amount of chip music players out there. For instance, the ZX Spectrum, or Play Amstrad CPC, or Play Amiga mods, or whatever. So there's a lot of ways to re-access the original soundtracks and relive those. And the other websites I mentioned are for downloading various remixes and different takes on those tunes, which are of varying quality. I like to think the c64audio.com ones are better quality because they're, you know, commercial remixes. I say commercial in air quotes because nothing about this is commercial.
It's all about the passion, the pleasure and the music itself. Well, we're going to take a listen to some more of this stuff. So what should we be listening to next? Have you got a personal favourite?
Let's play the Commando remix from the Instant Remedy album. It's a bit 90s, but in a retro scene like ours, that's not unusual.
I think that's perfectly acceptable. Chris Abbott, thanks for joining us. Thanks for sharing the music, and have a great time with you and your Commodore 64.
Thank you.
main auditorium at the Lichfield Garrick from the 27th through to the 31st of March, The Importance of Being Earnest has been brought to the stage by the original theatre company. To tell us more about the show, about her role in it, and about how much fun it's going to be, we have Louise Coulthard. Hello.
Hello.
So you're playing Cecily.
I am. Cecily, she lives in the country and she's sort of a creature not of this world. And then she's completely involved in fantasy and her own fairy tale. And then she sort of gets suddenly brought back to earth by a character that she's been writing in her diary about for a long time, who is Ernest. And he comes into her garden and it all goes from there, basically.
Well, obviously, anything by Oscar Wilde in the world of comedy is going to be rip-roaringly funny. And you must be really looking forward to bringing this to so many people on the tour.
It's quite an honour, really. Like, his work is just so witty and it's just so funny. And we've opened this week and the audiences are loving it. So I hope it's going to go down well along the tour.
How are you finding the direction and the take on this particular revival of the show?
It's really great. In rehearsals, we kind of had to hit the ground running, really, and everything's, yeah, gone quite swimmingly. It's been very pleasurable.
Is it as much fun as doing some of your stuff that you've, you know, you did the Edinburgh Fringe this year, just gone, and, you know, your other work on stage as well?
It's very different, yeah, because I've, a lot of my work I've either sort of written or I do a lot of new writing, and I was in another comedy over the summer, but it's really nice to kind of do something a bit more classical, and we're in really big dresses and big bustles and corsets, so that's all a lot of fun.
but you're quite a famous cast as well, aren't you? Across the board, you've all been in some really big productions.
Yeah, it's a really great cast. We've got Kerry Ellis, who's sort of a leading lady in the West End, and we've got Gwen Taylor and Sue Penhaligon, who are just two amazing actresses, so I'm learning a lot on this job.
But when you get into what people have been on, you know, Duty Free, Coronation Street, Upstairs, Downstairs, Bergerac, you know, it's such a great group of people that are bringing such a fun piece to the stage.
Yeah, definitely. We've also got Thomas Howes, who's been in Downton Abbey. So there's lots and lots of wonderful actors involved in this cast.
And with this, say, coming around as a revival, I think it's probably time we saw more of Wilde stuff on the stage, isn't it, really?
Well, yeah, there's a wonderful season going on at the Vaudeville in London over this year, but I think it's great when you can get them to go on tours as well. His Importance of Being Earnest is probably his most famous play, but there's so many other wonderful ones that he's written as well, so yeah, it would be great to get those on the road.
And is this your first time at the Garrick?
It is, yes.
So you don't know Lichfield yet, but by the time you've been there for a week, you'll have been and painted the town red, I'm sure, a few times.
I'm sure, yeah. Well, this is actually my first ever tour.
Wow.
So I know, and everyone else is kind of touring veterans, so they're all going to show me the sights around all the places we're going.
Do you find that slightly daunting, yeah, being away and on the road?
No, it's kind of a bit of rite of passage, I think, for most actors. I'm really looking forward to it, and we're going to so many places that I've never even been before. So it's really exciting, actually, and getting paid to do it, which is always nice.
What more can you ask for? And great audiences along the way too, I'm sure. Well, it is all down at Lichfield Garrick's Tuesday the 27th through to Saturday the 31st of March. The Importance of Being Earnest, lichfieldgarrick.com to get your hands on tickets, or call the box office on 01543 412121. That's 01543 412121. There is a matinee on the Thursday and the Saturday, and it's going to be a great comedy for all to sit back and enjoy. For now, Louise, thank you for joining us and break a leg.
No worries, thank you. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Let's take another Commodore 64 tune, this time from C64 Audio. We have Miami Vice. Prolific charity fundraiser Jason Guy is at it again. This time it's a full-on run for the money because he's doing a marathon. He joins me on the line now to tell me more about it. Hello.
Hello there, Jason. How are you?
I'm good, and I trust you're in fighting form and ready to run 26 point whatever it is miles.
Yes, 26.2 miles. Well, you know, I've done quite a few charity events in the past. Nothing as grueling as obviously what I've got planned. A few years back, started with a Paris to London bike ride with Neil from the Fox at Shipley, who actually did the Paris Marathon in Paris and then the London Marathon after the bike ride, which was a fantastic achievement. And I've been following Neil, who's been doing the, like I said, Paris to London three times and New York Marathon, and I've watched him in every one of these marathons, and I thought, I fancy a go at that. And then it was last year, really, I thought, right, me and my girlfriend said, right, let's put our names down for it. So I contacted the charities, you know, who I do a lot for, and they come back. And we've got two places accepted, so the training has begun.
And it is quite serious, because it is a bit of a grueling task, as you say, and you've got to make sure you're in good condition. So I take this means charity dinners are out for you at the moment.
Yes, well, since Christmas, you know, at Christmas I did probably what we all did, Jason, and overindulged. But what I have done is cut back. I'm going to my personal training sessions twice a week. This all sounds pretty boring, by the way, Jake.
It's not like you, yeah.
I've lost a stone and 4 pounds. I think I've drunk alcohol twice since Christmas, and my marathon training is going from strength to strength. So I'm up to 10 miles now. I've put myself in for a half marathon in March, which will be obviously great for the build-up to the London Marathon, and then on April the 22nd I'll be tackling 26.2 miles for breast cancer now.
Absolutely phenomenal work as well. Good luck to you. I know you'll do great things, and if people do want to donate because you're doing this mad thing, how do they do so?
Well, all we've got to go to is the website, which is legacy4lucy.co.uk. so that's legacy, the number 4, lucy.co.uk. And they can donate, and every single penny and more goes to breast cancer now.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, let's say good luck with it all. We'll talk in the closer run up to it as well, see how fundraising's going, and we will have a bit of a natter how you get on with your half marathon as well. Be very intrigued to see how that goes, but good
That's
luck
brilliant.
Have a good time, and I look forward to seeing you running round on telly but in April.
Yeah, I won't be wearing any fancy dress, so you'll probably just see me covered in sweat, grabbing all the water I can.
Go for it. That's the way to do it. Jason, great to speak to you.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
Stafford Gatehouse is busy playing host to a load of different events, from comedy through some of their most amazing bits of theatre you will ever find. To tell us more from their press team, we have Tom Waldron. Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good, and I trust that you're keeping busy, aren't you?
Yes, very busy, very busy. Yes, we've just brought out or released our latest spring-summer 2018 season, so... yes, lots of shows coming up, lots of things to be going on with. So, yes, happy days, really.
Yeah, and a good giggle on the way with Stephen Bailey joining you on the 9th.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Stephen's coming to our Met studio. We do a lot of sort of stand-up comedy in the studios, whether some art house theatre as well. Yeah, Stephen's an up-and-coming comedian. You might have seen him on ITV's Celebability. And he does various things on TV. And he's also, his new show, Can't Think Straight, is doing very well. So, yeah, that's here on the 9th, Friday the 9th of Feb. So that should be a good one.
Yeah, proving you love your comedy on Valentine's night, what better day to have an evening with Sarah Millican? But I think, yeah. Is that pretty much sold out now?
It is now, yeah. It's been sold out for a few months now. Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean,
wow.
Sarah Millican is a regular here at the Gatehouse. She does various shows. She also does some warm-up shows as well.
Ah, the sneaky ones for her email list.
Yes, that's right. Yes, yes, which she does. I think it's sort of every 2 weeks, every month, that sort of thing. So, but this one's a full show. It's Control Enthusiast. And yeah, like I say, it's been sold out for a few months now. But always worth keeping an eye because she's, yeah, like I say, a regular here. So keeping an eye on what we've got coming up in the future.
Top quality performer as well. And you do like your comedy and music, and sometimes you can stick the two things together.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yes. After Sarah, the following night, we have Joe Brown, big following. Joe Brown's going to be supported by Henry Gross, who's an American performer as well. And he's got a show in our Met studio again a couple of months later. But yeah, Joe Brown, that's selling well, nearing capacity. He'll be doing all the hits. So yeah, 1-2 book. Quickly, if you're interested.
Okay, we'll give you the details on how you can do that a little bit later on. And you're very much looking forward to Counter Hot Tin Roof as well.
Yeah, yeah. So we do a number of National Theatre Live screenings. Counter Hot Tin Roof we've got coming in Feb. After that, that one starring Jack O'Connell and Sienna Miller. That had some great reviews. And after that, we've got Julius Caesar as well in March. It's got a good cast. Again, that's had rave reviews in the broadsheets and whatnot. So that's one to look out for. And in terms of live theatre, on Tuesday, the 20th of Feb, we've got a production called From Ibiza to the Norfolk Broads, which any Bowie fan will recognise the reference. And it's about, funnily enough, a younger, obsessive Bowie fan. And that'll be a very interesting show in the Met Theatre. If you want to get your tickets now, that's selling well as well. So, lots to look forward to.
So, a wide variety of stuff. And so there's something for all audiences down there. And it, what I like about theatre in the Midlands in particular, you've got what's on at the Grand in Wolverhampton, you've got the Garrick Litchfield, you've got yourselves, and you've got a big crossover of genre, but never quite the same sort of show. So it's always something a little bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, of course, yeah. So, I mean, like, as you say, there is literally something for everyone, you know, and all the family. We've got, you know, some great family shows like Dear Zoo on the 21st and the 22nd of Feb. You know, they're lovely interactive shows, things like the Little Bo Peep and later on Monstersaurus. You know, great chance to spend some time with the family, with the kids, get them involved. But also, you know, you've got your comedians, you know, people like Jimmy Owen, and other events. You know, look, we have a comedy club as well, and we have, you know, musicians and plays, as I've said. So, yeah, you know, things to please every palate.
But the occasional film too, because you've got Loving Vincent coming up on the 6th of March.
Yeah, yeah, so we have a Stafford Film Theatre are based with us, and yeah, they have some shows. I think it's every Tuesday, unless we have something else, a big production running. But yeah, it's usually every Tuesday. Yeah, and they've got Loving Vincent. You know, they've got some other ones in Syria, and one that was named sort of best film of the year in The Guardian, I think it was called, I think, Call Me By Your Name. So, yeah, they've got some great ones in their season ahead as well, yeah.
So not too far away, Stafford Gatehouse Theatre. Online, you can be found at staffordgatehousetheatre.co.uk. Or your box office number for any of those shows is 01785619080. That's 01785619080. And you can find out more, go along and have a great time. It's some brilliant stuff. And I'm still reading from the Magic of the Panto. I very much enjoyed that when I was down there. I came the end of last year and the start of this year as well, just to make sure I saw it properly twice.
It was brilliant. We had a great reception on it, you know, sold a great number of tickets, and the audience feedback as ever was brilliant. We're soon to announce next panto, next rock and roll panto, which will be again December later this year, but until January 2019. But in the immediate, closer time, we've got an outdoor Shakespeare festival coming up in June. It's a production of the Scottish play Macbeth. Again, that's outdoor. The Shakespeare festival's been running for about 28 years now. This will be our 28th, I think. And yeah, it's going to be a marvellous production and one to look out for. Tickets are on sale now via our website. So yeah, another great thing coming up to be aware of.
So staff@gatehousetheatre.co.uk to find out more on that one. For now though, Thomas Waldron, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thank you.
Dawning of a brand new way of getting Wolverhampton and the Black Country on the map. It is Destination Wolverhampton and Black Country. And to tell us more about the start of this project, I have Jan Denning. Hello.
Hi, Jason.
So you're working hard at the moment to make sure that the people and the venues, facilities and transport links to the Black Country are known on a national and international basis.
Absolutely. We do so much good in our area. You know, and it's a really good time right now with all the investment that's going on, all the regeneration that's going on. But it's now that we should start telling people about all the good that we do in our region, because there is a lot of good going on in our region. So this idea came about from talking to different people within the city and all the surrounding areas as well. So we've got a real gap that how can we pull together all the good that we do and start attracting business from outside of the city, so like more visitors coming in on coaches, making sure that visitors know about all the great attractions that we have. And also, and it's a big objective of Destination Wolverhampton and the Black Country, is conference and event market. And between all the venues that we've got, we do quite well on it, but it's actually worth £39.1 billion to the UK.
So can you imagine if we just get 1% of that?
Yeah, if you get that little bit more over and above what's already been taken, that'd be great. And this is something that was soft launched towards the end of last year, and you're working towards a bigger, more public offering towards March into April.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all the research really started in October. So October, the end of October, November, December was just really speaking to key people within the city and in the Black Country to share the idea with them, because there's no point going out there with an idea if people don't want it. So I was asking people to be very, very open and do you like it or not? Shall we go ahead with it? And honestly, without exception, the concept of this destination Wolverhampton and the Black Country has just been welcomed with open arms. So now we're kind of in round two, where we're revisiting all of these people and say, right, do you want to come on board? And this week, actually on Monday, we've confirmed that our beautiful Grand Theatre has come on board now as a programme partner. We've got the University of Wolverhampton on their conference solutions have come in as a partner. It's very likely verbally now that the Molyneux is confirmed. So it's starting to gain momentum now. And now it's like looking as well for the strategic partners. You know, we need some big heavyweights behind this too. So all very exciting and very busy, and just being really overwhelmed with the support.
And it's all about the business in the city, but it's something that people of the city and the Black Country are going to have an interest in too, because they'll be able to find out about events, about key things that are happening that they might actually want to get involved with. And that's where using your Twitter feed and your Facebook, particularly at this point, is vital.
Yeah, absolutely. And this isn't a separate organisation from all the good that we already do. This is supporting all of the organisations that are all doing a bit of this, but we need to feed into it. Like, we've got the new West Midlands Growth Company. It's absolutely vital that we work as this bigger region. So we work for the West Midlands. But it's also really important that us as a satellite, if you like, you know, in my mind's eye, it's a satellite that we feed in to the West Midlands Growth Company so that they know what we're doing and they can help us in our quest to get more visitors, more businesses coming in and doing business, staying in our hotels. We now have a relationship with Visit Britain, which we're really excited about. We received all their logos yesterday. So, you know, the first thing that we'll do is get us a profile on Visit Britain website. And we're also just working on a promotional video, which I can't tell you too much about, but there's some names in there that a lot of people will recognise.
So look out for all this, and say the Twitter and the Facebook at the moment are the places to see it. So give us all the details.
Okay, for our Twitter address, you can just search really for ease, which is Destination Wolverhampton and the Black Country. The shortened handle version of that is Destination W_BC. And on Facebook, simply Destination Wolverhampton and the Black Country.
So do all of that and get in touch, click follow, like, or whatever it is on your social media platform of choice. And before you know it, we'll be seeing Instagram pictures up there as well, won't we?
Yes, once I'm into that platform, yeah, I probably need your help in that one, Jason.
We shall work on that soon. But for now, Jen Denning, thank you for having a chat with us and talking us through a bit of Destination Wolverhampton and the Black Country.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
That's all for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Back with more on episode 451 next week. I'll see you then. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.